Welcome back to the 4040 Club. This is Pierce. You know me. I am your permanent host at Cameron Santo. It's where you can follow me on Twitter. I don't even remember my Instagram right now, but I guess it really don't matter. We're going to talk about baseball today. That's the reason of this show. Last show was at the beginning of this, before the season, and we previewed. So we got a lot to catch up on. Got a good, healthy dose of what we know, good sample size to be able to chat about. And that's all love. Courtney joined us on the show last time. And we love Courtney so much. Courtney's fucking amazing. We are going to bring her back. She's currently doing work in the NHL with the Dallas Stars. We're rooting for the Dallas Stars as they go on to a road to the Stanley Cup. I don't even know. I'm going to be watching hockey. But, go Golden Knights. Blackhawks got Connor Bedard. Let's go. But while she's over there, we're going to be having guest host swinging on from time to time. And our newest member of the Barbers Champion family is joining us right now. My man Sid is on the podcast today. Sid, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm excited to talk about baseball. Like, growing up in Queens, being black, in the what I think is the best baseball market in the world, or at least top two or top three.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. It's really cool just to be able to talk about my passion. Like, I grew up a baseball fan. I was god-awful at baseball. And so now, like, every has-been athlete tends to do, they podcast about it. So, hey, I'm
man,
here.
Speak for yourself. Like, I had a good bat. I had good bat speed. My problem is once you fucking give me later on in the counts and I be trying to work counts, so I might be a little bit too generous. But
yeah.
At least I wasn't like Javi Baez, you know, slow two slider in the dirt. I'm hunting for that.
Oh
shit.
My
nah. Let me tell you Javi. Something. Let me tell you something. If you played the show 23, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to get you Diamond Dynasty in a second because that shit's raw, but. No one can tell me that that's not the most realistic game ever made. Within 10 minutes, these two things happened to me in Diamond Dynasty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Javi Baez, 0-2 slider in the dirt, swinging. He does it every time. If I throw that slider on the edge of the box there and it's going to tail into the dirt, he's going to swing every time without fail.
Yep.
Eloy Jimenez in left field making some kind of mechanical error in his code. It glitched somehow and ball got past him and it turned into a two-run double. Those two things happen within 10 minutes. You can't tell me that that's not the most realistic game ever.
No, that's a real game. That's fantastic.
We're hammering home the realness of Major League Baseball right there.
I mean, gotta love it, you know?
I really do, man. I really do. The one thing I've noticed since I've been on the East Coast, I've been in Philadelphia for about a year and a half now, a little over a year and a half, actually. And obviously, you know, sports crazy in Philly, but like baseball, the love for baseball was seeping kind of underneath there. Nothing's ever going to trump the Eagles. Like, it's
never.
It's fucking Eagles. Yeah. So like, I get it. As someone that comes from a similar town where we have great love for baseball, but the football team is always going to be king.
Right.
I understand that. But being out here in the kind of Northeast metropolitan area, the love for baseball is deep. I kind of feel it with the Phillies. You can go up north with the Red Sox. New York is obviously,
Baltimore. They love their Orioles.
Baltimore loves the shit out of the Orioles. It's some kind of kindred spirit when it comes to, the passion for baseball. It's something to appreciate.
Yeah. I grew up, like I said, in a baseball town. Like growing up in Queens, like, everyone's playing like stickball or whatever. And everyone's like, oh, I want to be Ken Griffey, blah, blah, blah. And me being the lame motherfucker that I was like, I want to be Daryl Strawberry. And this is like
a great person to be like.
not
like in the real world, but on the baseball.
Right. We love Daryl. So like as a kid growing up, like favorite ice cream was strawberry, favorite color was pink, orange and blue. Being in the Northeast is a special type of love for baseball. And New York is a bit different because I don't think football is king in New York.
Nah, it's baseball. No one can tell me it's not baseball.
I honestly think football might be third tier.
If you account for the Knicks, yeah, probably. Well, the thing is, your football teams are all in Jersey.
That's a big part of it.
You know, yeah. I guess I look at it this way for New York's sake, and like I'm not a New Yorker, but I'm a kid that watched a shit ton of Ken Burns baseball. And you go back to the era when there were three teams in New York, and it was the Yankees, the Giants, and the Mets. Oh, sorry, the Dodgers. You know, Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. And, right. You know, every borough, you know, three of the boroughs, but I guess, like, you all had that connection to each other's team. And even when the Dodgers and the Giants left town, it mattered so much that you just brought a team with both of their colors into the city.
Yep.
And anyone who wasn't a Yankee fan, if you weren't, you know, blinded by the aura of the glitz and the glamour and the championships and winning, you appreciated the toughness and the grinder mentality of the Mets. Right. And, you know, I've always, at least in contrast to Cubs Sox, where it is dividing families, it is dividing sides of town.
Right.
New York, it's a lot different, you know, from my perspective, at least, like, you know, how you become a Yankee fan versus how you become a Met fan. I've always been interested in that.
So I can debunk some of this a little. Like, obviously, you're from the Bronx, Yankees fan. Queens, Long Island, you're probably a Mets fan, unless, like, you know, you have family ties or something. And then there's the big Italian culture. The Mets famously do not employ a lot of Italians.
It didn't seem like it.
Yeah, but Brandon Nimmo is Italian, I think. Like, he wanted to play for the Italian national team. And then the Italian in town for the Queen. Exactly. And he was the manager for Italy in the World Baseball Classic. And that's really it. Like even our owner, white guy from Long Island, but his wife is Dominican.
So it seems like the Yankee fans, Yankees will grab more Italian fans. The Mets will get more WASPy Long Island fans.
Yeah. So this is... Our fans are very Jerry Seinfeld.
Gotcha.
Yes. Gotcha. Mets fans are very Jerry Seinfeld. Gotcha. That's the best way to put it without not getting invited back.
understandable. Completely understandable.
Yeah.
I guess, like, you know, how like the road it takes for you to, it's so much different from Chicago and how, you know, Cubs Sox can get divided. It don't seem like it's that, you know, heated. You know, like, I get fucking annoyed by White Sox fans. I like the team. I like the organization, in fact. The fan base fucking annoys the shit out of me. It don't seem like Yankee fans and Met fans, while there's, like, this little brother, big brother thing, it's cordial, you know?
There's – so, you know, and I think a big part of that is, the 9/11 game. Mike Piazza hitting the homer, right. And it kind of changed the relationship between the two franchises. And then, like, now with the new owner, and then just like the fact that the Wilpons kind of just were a non-compete ownership group for as long as they were. It's just like Derek Jeter said, it's just the Mets. Like,
it's Mets.
Yeah. Which is like, it hurts, but you know, rules are rules. Like, and it's like you said, big brother, little brother. Like, my older brother, he's a Yankees fan. He was not born in Queens. I was the only one of my siblings born in Queens. So he was born in Germany, but his father is a Yankees fan. My dad, Long Island guy. Well, my dad and my uncle, Long Island guys. Really integral to Long Island's culture and hip hop scene. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into. That goes into it, but at the same time, a lot less that goes into it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's start with the Mets then, since we're already on the topic of the New York Mets. I don't have the stands up right now, but I'm not even going to say stink, stank, stunk, because I don't think they're the White Sox or anything like that. But the Mets are 18-20. They are 7.5 out of first place because the Braves have been so hot. We'll talk about Atlanta in a hot second. They've lost 7 of 10. They haven't been able to get their rotation
to really
together.
Bad teams. Really, really, really bad teams.
So let me ask you, what is the problem with the New York Mets at this point in time?
I don't want to say money was spent in the wrong places, because
you say that for me. That's my lead.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say that because, you know, like, you best available. 2 years in a row, best available guys. You do that. Starling Marte has been on and off with injury. His base running speed has been kind of non-existent after a neck injury. His bat has been so bad that he is now batting sixth and has been replaced by current NL batting champion Jeff McNeil in the two spot after Jeff Brandon Nimmo.
More respect.
I think
fighting for respect in the batting order is silly.
Right. And I think it's just because I don't want to say bad things about Buck Showalter either, but I think it's a lack of creativity across the board when it comes to the Mets and why. A lack of creativity and a lack of consistency. Like Max Scherzer. He has this problem reared his head up last year, especially against the Padres in the playoffs. It was just hard for him to put away pitchers or batters. It was real hard for him to put away batters. And that's kind of rearing its ugly head. Just the inconsistency. And then there's silly little 10-game suspension where he missed, I think, two starts, and then he has like the neck strain now or something like that. And yeah, Justin Verlander didn't start the season off, but he came in the other day and pitched a gem. Kodai Senga, up and down as a first-year Japanese pitcher probably should be, trying to adjust. And then Francisco Lindor, for as much as I love him, is the weirdest baseball player. Like, at this, I don't want to say it's all or nothing, but he is the streakiest guy in the world. So, like, I do this thing where I chart, the colored cleats that he wears, the gloves that he wears, just because Francisco Lindor famously, he says he gets bored with his gears. So there was a point. And I want to, yeah, in April, there was a point in April from the 14th to around the 23rd in three series, the only time he was really striking out was against the Dodgers. And that was the Clayton Kershaw 200, whatever number win game. Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
Like 200th game.
Something like that, yeah. I don't.
Very crazy stat.
Yeah, it's unreal.
The stat was he had won 200 games before losing 100. I think only six pitchers in history have done that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's insane. That's deranged, actually. But yeah, and that was like the only game where he had three strikeouts, and then he had a great series against the A's, we can talk about that later. That deserves a whole thing. Dodgers, aside from the one game, played well against the Giants and split that series. And then from there, we lost to the Nationals. We lost series to the Nats, but we had a 9-8 win. There's the lost series to the Braves with the rain out and then the doubleheader. And then, for the first time in ever, the Mets lost two in a doubleheader a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, I think it's just a lack of creativity and a lack of consistency. And, you know, that's the fun part about baseball, is that consistency is going to happen whether you want it to or not. And I think, like, the Mets just kind of need jolts of energy here and there. And they've been getting it, I think. Like, Francisco Alvarez is a very, very, very fun catcher. Brett Beatty is a very, very, very fun bat and third baseman. Like, both of them were held in AAA a little bit longer than they should have been. And you can even argue that Francisco Alvarez probably should go back to AAA to work on some things. But, you know, trial by fire, catching a pennant chasing staff and probably, you know, working on swing profile and everything like that, because at the beginning of the year when he got called up from the Omar Narvaez injury, he was swinging at whatever the fuck. And now it's more disciplined AB. So you just, you know, it's going to be the consistency no matter what. And I think that's what the Mets' problem is. And then, like I said, the creativity in the lineup. Brett Beatty has now moved up. Starling Marte has moved down. Jeff McNeil is up. Pete Alonso is still hitting cleanup. And if I'm not mistaken, leading the league in home runs at either 13 or 14. So yeah, it's I think they'll get it together. I'm not entirely sure if they will catch the Braves, because even when the Braves don't have a pitching staff, I think it was a meme that said bats go burr, and that's literally what happens. Like they're I want to know where AA has the bodies, because the Matt Olson deal, the Acuna deal, the Albies deal, the Strider deal.
The Acuna and Albies deal is just straight up robbery against Latin American players.
But yeah, I feel like that's other racism. Ones,
right. But the other ones are really good and really crafty transactional moves. And I really respect, well, I can't really say I respect what the Braves have done, because it's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
The Braves have built themselves a really good team.
Yeah, and they've built it consistently and with concise money, and like
not having to, not having to give up, knowing which players are not going to pan out. I mean, to have Christian Pache and Drew Waters, I don't even think got shipped out for an actual player. He got shipped out for a draft pick. Christian Pache is now on the Phillies, his second team after the Braves. They moved Pache to – which deal was that? It was another deal with the A's, but it wasn't a Sean Murphy deal.
No, it wasn't the
I'm blanking on which move it – so it was Olsen. Sorry, it was the Olsen deal. It was
– yes.
It was the intelligence to know that you love Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman is going to go in the Hall of Fame possibly one day, but – his asking price is not where you feel aligned with for the future and for his age. Let's bring in a similar ball player, not as good as Freddie Freeman, but can do all of the Freddie Freeman-like things that you need for this team to succeed. And that was exactly what Matt Olson was. Plus, he's from the crib. You know, so it was very easy for them to build, you know, what they did, as long as they were just meticulous with it and smart. And then they still have pieces not only to grow up. They didn't trade a lot of the pitching prospects. You know, Strider came up, and Strider's a dog. They got other kids that are, you know, still so waiting good. That they can now move to supplement a run for now. You know, what they've built is really phenomenal.
Right. And then, like you said, replacing Freddie Freeman, like, it's not easy to find like elite left hand bats, and for a time I thought top two were Freddie Freeman and Juan Soto, and Matt Olson is probably number three at this point. Like he's kind of killing it. So like
back Pete Alonso, I take Matt Olson over Pete Alonso.
Oh, I mean,
give me a left hand bat with defense. I think he hits for average better, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd never want to sound like a homer when I come on podcasts, because, you know, like,
I'm only saying that because, well, Reese is hurt, and plus I definitely take Matt Olson over Reese, no disrespect.
Yeah.
Yuli Gurriel's 37, and who's the other first baseman in the division I'm missing? Am I missing someone? Washington. Yeah, Washington ain't got a first baseman, so, yeah.
Dom Smith. Dom Smith is their first
baseman. That's right. I thought he was DHing, though. Okay, well, yeah, Dom Swift. Well, yeah.
Yeah, Dom is DHing. Yes, Dom. Former Met. Love Dom.
I wish he was on the Cubs, because I wish that was like a reclamation, you know, kind of ideal there with Dom Smith.
Same way you guys did Cody Bellinger.
God, I love me Cody Bellinger.
I literally have a Cody Bellinger jersey like sitting maybe 5 feet in front of me, like from his Dodgers days. It was like the World Series jersey, because I love Cody Bellinger.
I'm so happy to see, just because it was – It's bad to see some MVPs tail off the way that he did. You know,
I can think of one other one.
Christian Yelich. You're kind of excited to see falter that way. You know, just a little bit that way. It should have been higher bias. But for Bellinger to be as good as he was in 2019, and then the immediate drop-off starting in 2020, it was unexplainable, because it was like it can't just be the COVID years or whatever. It seems like
it was the injury.
there's an injury, and then he needed that change of scenery because where the Dodgers were going, he needed himself mentally a reset that wasn't just focused on winning and results now. He needed to focus on results for himself and getting better, you know, day in, day out. And thankfully, Chicago is a perfect place to, you know, just get yourself right. And hey, I won't say it's a lot. It's not a lot going on with the Cubs right now because I think they're hovering around 500 and they're really fun right now. But like they struggled a bit lately. At least Cody's been able to sustain for the moment. And, you know, I think if he can go into the trade deadline, you know, still hitting well, he'll finish the season strong. You know, they'll pick up an option or they'll work on a long term deal. He'll stick around in Chicago. I love to see him stick around.
Cody was one of my offseason wants. I think when it came down to it, for the Mets, I wanted Verlander, Kodai Senga, Brandon Nimmo, and Cody Bellinger. Those were like, that was like top of the wish list. And we got everyone except for Cody Bellinger, which again is kind of starting to rear its ugly head because Mark Canna, for as much as I love him, He's having a rough go at it, so, yeah.
To my point on the Mets now, let me bring it up, because the Mets have really irked the shit out of me with this belief that, well, given off the belief that in order to win, you have to just throw money at anything and anyone that you want, which, like, the basis of you have to spend to win is right. Teams need to realize that you, in order to win baseball games, in order to generate revenue, in order to keep fans coming through the turnstiles, going to games, spending more money on concessions and merch in the stands, you have to spend money for good players on the field, pump good money into your research and development departments. And all things which I think they have done very well. And I give them credit for the strides that they've been doing. The problem with the last 2 years that I've had is that they've spent money on some of the dumbest players that I could possibly see lining up in that uniform to make me question, what is the goal here? Is the goal to make a competitive team for years to come, or is the goal to be good right now? Not going to bring up last year, although I will say Starling Marte was a dumb fucking move at that point. I didn't agree with giving him, 3 years at the money he was making at his age. I think it was age.
4 years, 75 or 4 years, 76.
At his age, I did not agree with it.
Right.
2022. This is, let's just go down the main free agent signings in 2022. Brandon Nimmo, 8 years, $162 million. Love that. He's performing right now. That's the deal you have to make.
You give him that deal. Yep.
Exactly. Especially because you let Conforto walk. You kind of had to save one of the two. Edwin Diaz, 5 years, $102 million. Great. Problem is, he blew out his fucking knee and he's not going to pitch this year. So it really hurts this year.
He may. No, I'm not expecting it.
Right. It's one of the things, like, you don't expect it, but if it happens, like, it'd be wonderful.
If it happens, cool. If not, then you have to get from that deal.
Justin Verlander's 2 years, $86.6 million. You getting Justin Verlander coming off of a Cy Young. The problem is, you're getting Justin Verlander expecting two things. One, you're absolutely going to win a championship in the next 2 years, because if you don't, it's wasting money and a failure. Two, right. Justin Verlander has to be able to hang on for those 2 years, and he's 40, over 40. I think he's closer to 41. 41 than 40.
Yeah.
And you already have a nearing 40-year-old pitcher on your staff whose arm is falling off. Cody saying a 5 year, $75 million. I thought that was a great deal. But
steal deal for me.
But he still has to be able to make the transition.
Right.
Jose Quintana, 2 years, $26 million. Where is he?
Injury. He'll be back in June.
All right. Nomar Navarez, 2 years, $15 million. Where is he?
Injury. Good signing though.
Adam Ottavino, 2 years, $14.5 million. He's pitching really well. He's 38. Mm-hmm. Why the fuck? Why? $14.5 million for a dude that's 38.
Shut up, man. I think I'm not the biggest fan of the deal, but
it's very White Sox. Oh my god, this brings me to an all around point. It's very White Soxian, which is, yes, like I The Mets are so White Soxian. Like, the White Sox are the type of team that will go out and give multi-year deal for relievers. Kendall Graveman, for example. Dudes that aren't closers, but setup men. Joe Kelly, when Joe Kelly can't pitch. That would fall in line in that for me. Right. David Robinson is just a year and $10 million, and that's fine because David Robinson's still a really good pitcher. So I respect that deal.
160-plus saves. Came in the year with 154, I believe. So, yeah.
Yeah, really good. I wish the Phillies had kept him around. But to me, it felt like the Mets are just spending money to add guys to the team, and it didn't feel like a lot of proper roster construction. And that's been my issue with the Mets ever since, you know, the spring training started, and why I didn't think they would win the division at all in general. I thought it would be the Braves, maybe a little bit closer, not to the extent that it is, but I thought it would be the Braves. I still don't think the Mets are that much better than the Phillies. You know, the Phillies have had injuries and you know, some bad plays and bad performances. I've come guys that, you know, once it gets hotter, should turn around.
There's one guy I'm very excited to talk about because, ooh, buddy.
Which one?
$300 million man.
Go ahead and talk about Trey Turner.
So, I'm going to bring up the stats because he is it's going to be a rough deal. It's going to be a rough deal. Average exit velocity 32, xWOBA 9, barrel percentage 22, whiff 11, outs above average 73, max exit velocity 64, xBA 35, K percentage 33, chase rate 10, arm strength 28, hard hit percentage 30, X slug 22, walk rate 19, sprint speed 99.
It's a lot of numbers.
So I try to decode baseball very often. So what we're looking at here is he doesn't hit the ball very hard. He doesn't hit the ball on the barrel very well. Still a good defender. His arm strength looks really bad. He's chasing pitches outside the zone. He's not hitting anything in the zone. And he's not walking very often. So he's not having very disciplined ABs. So it's...
I'm not gonna get too much on Trey right now because I think the Phillies as a whole have been struggling. Kyle Schwarber was in a bad slump until last Sunday, but he's kind of prone to that.
I have thoughts on Kyle Schwarber as well.
Yeah, so I'm not too much worried about Kyle because I think Kyle's gonna break out of it. I think Trey will break out of it as well. He's actually kind of, what is his LPS in the last 10? It's above 800.
Right.
So I think he'll be fine as well. They've been a team that's been injured a lot. They haven't been able to, you know, be able to put together a proper lineup. Pitching might worry me because I think that let's see a couple more starts from Taiwan. Taiwan was excellent because he used a splitter and he used it often against Boston.
Oh, Taiwan Walker. I love him, but... another very frustrating pitcher to me, especially after his 2 years on the Mets.
Seems like a lot of hate there, sir.
No, I love Taiwan Walker. Just frustrating.
No, I mean, like Mets Phillies hate.
Oh no,
that's a very underrated baseball rivalry. If you have not had opportunity to go to a Mets Phillies game, go to a Mets Phillies game.
Yeah, so I don't hate the Phillies at all. And in fact, I last year watching the World Series. I think the coolest at-bat of the entire playoffs, besides, save a Yordan Alvarez grand slam or something like that, the Rhys Hoskins homer where he damn near
slam.
Yeah. And then the Bryce Harper one where everyone's like, this is the legacy at-bat. And then we all remember that Bryce Harper was the LeBron James of baseball. Like, come on. Like, he's the chosen one. Like, you don't question Bryce Harper. That's
the wonderful thing about that is, like, yeah, I called that legacy home run before it happened in the NLCS. But then the World Series happened, and I was blessed to be able to go to Game 3. And he's walking up and was like, what if he just goes first pitch? And then he goes first pitch.
Because he's that damn good. Because you it's hard pressed to find a left-handed hitter in baseball that's better than him. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Bryce Harper is a phenomenal talent. And yeah.
I pulled this up on Turner. The two things that I'll defend Trey Turner with is this. One, he had a really good, probably top three among all the players in the World Baseball Classic. He was phenomenal that March. So I'll give him a little bit for a slow start. Secondly, he's notoriously a slow starter when you compare his first half to second half. And okay. He's usually hitting 290 in the first half, bump that up to 306 in the second, getting on base more, slugging more. So, you know, give him a fuller season to kind of do that. He hasn't had the opportunity to play with his best friend yet. So maybe, like, let's see him play with his best friend, and maybe if Schwarber starts fucking hitting more, you know, give them some time. But I think, like, Phillies and Mets are very one and the same. They'll be 2-3. I don't trust the Marlins, but I mean, like, no.
And I will say this about the Mets. About the
Marlins.
Right. I will say this about the Mets. In terms of their spending, I agree that I'm not really sure what the direction is, but I think when you're trying to clean up 30 years worth of negligence,
it's going to take a while.
So Billy Epler, who I don't really know how I feel as a GM, like sometimes he's really good, sometimes he trades for Darren Ruff. So he has said that we need to hold on to prospects, especially pitching prospects, because the best one, Mike Vassell, is Double A Binghamton right now. And that's really it. There's no other real pitching prospects. Kumar Rocker was in question. I still don't really know how I feel about that. Like, everyone say, oh, it's $6 million. You just pay the kid, like, whatever. But if it's not working, or if like there's medicals to hide or something like that, you take that as the red flag that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the Mets are trying to build up their farm system. And so the way you build, for right now at least, is one, lock down your career guys, your Brandon Nimmos, your Jeff McNeils, your Francisco Lindors, your Pete Alonzos, all of which have contracts except for Pete Alonso, who will probably get his this year or this coming summer. And Brett Beatty, who is going to do his service time. So you have everything around the diamond. You have your young catcher, because Thomas Nito is on his way out. Narvaez is – he was there as kind of a mentor.
Fine backup.
Exactly. So
– it's more than fine backup, actually.
I think that's – I think he's the starter. But again, right. Francisco Alvarez has been phenomenal. And just I think –
depends on how Alvarez – depends on how Francisco Alvarez plays against right-handed pitching. If he's struggling, then you have a dude in Omar Narvaez that can hit the left or right-handed pitching, and then maybe you just save Alvarez for left-handed hitters and for, you know, defensive plays towards the end of the game. But like,
right,
yeah, no,
I agree. Right, and then you know, you lock up your people around the diamond. Jeff McNeil, like I said, he's locked up. He's a utility guy. So, you know, let's say Ronnie Mauricio comes up, who hits the ball very hard, hits the ball very far. He comes up, he takes over second base. You put Jeff McNeil in left field, and you have both talents, you have both bats. And then Mark Vientos is someone who should be up and coming pretty soon. I'm not exactly sure what his position is, but he DHs. Vogelbach gets way more flack from Mets fans than he should, because his OPS is pretty damn good. He gets on base, and he dropped some weight, so like he can actually run out plays.
He dropped some weight.
Yeah, he dropped 25. Him and Pete both dropped 25 pounds coming into the season.
Okay, so did he drop 25 pounds and it looks like he dropped 5?
No, he looks noticeably slimmer. Yeah. So I think,
sometimes Eloy will say he dropped a lot of weight, meaning he didn't really drop a lot of weight.
Right. No, him and Pete, like, they look marginally slimmer than like than past years. And so I think like what an owner, especially one with Steve Cohen's pockets, has to do and say, hey, we're here to make a splash. We're here to make a presence. And then a ton of payroll comes off next year. So we can do this all again. We can offer a Shohei Ohtani. We can offer a Juan Soto. We can, you know, and you can build from there with the young talent. And I'm not sure I'm a huge fan of mega deals, but the Francisco Lindor deal, that's going to be what it is. Jeff McNeil is on like a 4-year, $54 million deal. Brandon Nimmo is on a great deal. Pete will probably get like, Pete will get something that looks similar to the Freddie Freeman deal, probably a little bit north of the Matt Olson deal. And, you know, and then the rest of the guys are service time and things like that. So I think when it comes to building this team, the goal is obviously World Series because, you know, you bring in Justin Verlander, you bring in Max Scherzer, you bring in Kodai Senga. And then I think another thing they're trying to do is access to the Japanese market of pitchers. I don't remember the young man's name, but the 21-year-old who pitched in the WBC for Japan. Yes. That man is nasty. And he's 20, like I said, 21 years old.
Folks need to start paying active attention to the WBC because you're seeing
the WBC is so fun. Young, it's so fun.
Like, you know, you turn on a game and get for like Cuba or whatever, you're gonna see some older dudes. But like for Japan or Korea, you're seeing the freshest, youngest talent that aren't able to go to the league, not because they want to yet, but because of the rules in place.
Right.
So you're not gonna be seeing Roki Sasaki for maybe like 4 or 5 years. You're not gonna be seeing what's his name? Minataki, I think is his name.
You're
not gonna be seeing that dude for another 3 years, but like start paying attention now, because in a few years those
will be household names. Yeah,
those are the folks that you'll be hoping the Cubs or the Mets or the Phillies or whoever will go and spend the money and the posting fees to go and grab because they're that good.
And then the Red Sox they scooped up Yoshida,
kid can hit.
He can hit like hell, dude. He is a hell of a hitter. So yeah, I think that's kind of like what the idea with Billy Epler is and Kodai Senga. And I think it's building R&D. It's spending money. It's giving fans confidence that the ownership group is trying to right the wrong the last 30 years. So for the day-to-day frustrations as a Mets fan, I totally get why people are the way they are. I don't agree with it, but like I understand day-to-day frustrations. However, baseball is not a 1-year, 2-year game, and 30 years of negligence. I'm 29 years old. I've seen the Mets in 2 World Series. My earliest sports memories were the Knicks losing in the 99 finals, and then the Subway World Series. So yeah, it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight. But all things considered, I think if this is, you know, this is the venture that you take as Steve Cohen, good job. And the only thing I dislike, and Steve Cohen will agree with me, is him coming out and saying 3 to 5 years World Series. Like, why in God's name?
Yeah,
would you
he got to watch his tone, because
because owners are already not a fan.
You can't be out here puffing your chest and acting like you Frank Lucas and you ain't never won shit.
Yeah,
it
has to start somewhere, and I think it starts with spending money.
Yeah, like I said, he better win. Don't be out here banging your shit up like you Jerry Buss and you don't win. Let's talk about the AL East, because it is a powerhouse of a division. Every team right now is over 500. Yeah, every team right now is
over 500.
At least 3 games over 500. And they're led by a team that's doing some historic shit right now, Tampa Bay Rays. I never thought I would say the Tampa Bay Rays are doing something historic, but here we are. 30-9 right now. One of the best starts in baseball history. What's the run difference? Because they don't put the run difference on MLB anymore, and it bothers me. Crazy run differential is definitely over 115. lean baseball in so many categories, batting average, OBP, slugging, home runs, ERA. They have been on a tear. This is kind of the question you always ask. Do you trust this run right now by the Tampa Bay Rays?
I think based off of former Tampa Bay Rays and how they have done their R&D and everything like that, I think this one is supplemented by a lot of really good young talent that may not have been the case before. I think Wander Franco is a stud. One of my favorite baseball players right now.
If he was a Cub, he would be my son.
Yeah. Like, he's 22 years old. And then, oh gosh, dude from the World Baseball Classic who played for Randy Arozarena, who played for Mexico. I don't know why I'm blanking on names. It's been a long day. Wander Franco's nickname is El Patron. Yeah, right. Like, his nickname is El Patron, bro. Like, how cool do you want to be? And there's the little highlight.
How cool is it that as a Cuban, Mexicans love you?
You know what?
I think it's wonderful for him. Like, yeah. He's the king of Mexico.
Yeah, and he's running around with his sombrero on and everything.
That was one of the more wholesome things about the WBC, and like that.
Yeah, it is
that to me showed how like nations can come together for a singular joy
in
baseball right there. I thought it was fucking cool. But like, yeah, no, Randy's killing it. Obviously, Wander to have the pitching that they have, like, it sucks. Who was it that they lost?
Tyler Glasnow, who's coming back relatively soon.
No, was it Rasmussen that they lost for the season?
Yes.
It really stinks, but McClanahan is off to a tear. Glasnow is coming back. Jeff Springs. Like, they got a nice little rotation. And
Manuel Margot, who's probably going to get traded relatively soon because the Rays don't ever keep anyone over the age of 29.
They really don't. Ty Bradley's got to start this season. He's undefeated 3-0, showing lots of promise. Kid's 22 years old. Like, they got a lot of good young talent to supplement the top guys, around them, and I don't think they're afraid of the Yankees.
They don't have to be.
They really don't have to be because the Astros have beat the piss out of them so much that they're vulnerable, you know.
And I think that like even a team like the Baltimore Orioles, they're not scared of the Yankees anymore. Like, they have a certain swagger to them that says, like, hey, we're here now. You have Gunnar Henderson. You have Adley Rutschman.
You got the best, the best catcher in baseball because he's not JT. We got the best catcher in the American League, and he's just 25 years old. You know, you kind of get to walk around like that.
I mean, the kid rakes, dude. Like, and there's no – yeah, and for the Orioles to be as bad for as long as they have.
Yeah, it's good to see that trust process. Good to see that they're thriving. They're playing really good baseball. 11 games over 500.
And Cedric Mullins, like everyone knows the video. It's Cedric Mullins again. He's killing it out in center field. So like, and he's that's just a brother. Like he's just a black dude. That's awesome. Like that's just a black dude from North Carolina. Like that's pretty cool. And he wasn't hitting well against lefties. And then SB Nation comes out with an article yesterday. So apparently Cedric Mullins can hit lefties now. Like, what doesn't he do? Born October 1st, 1994. So like he's my age. Like that's crazy. Like there's a lot of good going on in the AL East, and it's fun to watch. It's really fun to watch. I try to make sure that I look at other teams, and we even talked about it earlier. Even the Red Sox are kind of riding the ship, and then the Blue Jays, another team supplemented by some really good young talent.
Yeah,
you got Vladdy. You have
together though. Some dudes are struggling.
Right. You got Matt Chapman.
Was struggling.
Right.
I would say the Blue Jays, we want to talk about, like, not disappointing, but, like, I expected them to be where the Rays are, and they just haven't been able to just figure out the consistency.
I would have thought by now they would have at least one division title in the Vladdy Jr. years. That felt right. And then Bo Bichet is up there too. That's another, as people on Twitter like to call them, Nepo babies. Yeah, dumbest shit ever.
The Serrano Nepo babies. That is kind of a funny nickname though. let's stick on disappointing before we go to like our biggest surprises, because I would love to talk about my most disappointing team in baseball, but I'll let you have the floor.
We might have the same one.
We might? Oh, is it those best fans in baseball?
Are we talking about St. Louis?
I think we are.
You know, this is the first pod we've done together. I like this.
No.
I like this.
It's just odd to me. It's a little bit odd to me. You know, the St. Louis Cardinals were the best team in the National League last year. And everybody thought that they would do it again. Everybody figured that the St. Louis Cardinals would be running away with the Central. Rest of the Central's trash, you know. The Reds are terrible. The Pirates, who cares about the Pirates, right? They're just getting Andrew McCutchen back. The Cubs don't matter. They've never mattered. And then the Brewers are trash. Like, it's going to be the Pirates. It's going to be the Cardinals here. It's going to be the Cardinals here. They just got Wilson Contreras to replace Yadier Molina. Did you hear about that? Did you know about that? Man is a great hitter. He's a wonderful hitter. He can hit the cover off of a baseball and then turn it into yarn. But what does he do? What does he play?
Play
what
left field.
Play? I mean, we didn't got to worry about that. We don't have to worry about that.
He plays left field.
We just need somebody to just like sit in at catcher. It doesn't matter if he frames well. Doesn't matter if he receives well. Doesn't matter if he can, you know, punch anybody out. You know, we just need somebody to be. We just need a body. We just need a body, right? And here this motherfucker comes through. Talking all this shit in the offseason. Oh, I sat there and watched Albert Pujols hit a home run in Busch Stadium, and suddenly I felt like this is what I want. This is a winning, what a winning culture feels like. Aye, motherfucker, this is what a winning culture feels like to you. One of the worst records, if not the, I don't have it up right now.
13-25.
I think the Royals are worse than that. 13-25, worst record in the fucking National League. Where's your pitching staff? It's so bad that your manager has to come out and say, no, 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 no. It's not because he's a bad catcher that we're moving the designated hitter. It's because we have better catchers than him. The dude that we paid over $100 million, $75 million to bring back, to bring in. Yeah, best fans in baseball. Enjoy the fucking baseball out there in St. Louis. I hope you enjoy every bit of this season. I am sorry that Black Jack Faraday has to sit through this shit. I'm sorry that Jordan Walker has to do the go up, come down, go up, come down route because the team can't figure out that they need to trade Dylan Carlson. And I'm not even a Cardinals fan. I'm just telling you the truth, Cardinal fans. That might just be what you need to do because your team right now is stink, stank, stunk. Sorry for beating on my fucking table, but that's what it takes because I fucking hate that team.
I'm so glad you said it. Like I said, this is the first time we potted together. You said it all.
I'm going to yell when it comes to the teams that I hate, by the way. Just wait till we talk about the White Sox and when it's relevant to talk about the White Sox.
Oh, yeah. No, this is great. I love this. But, yeah, Cardinals stink, stink, stunk, just like you said. They're not good. I feel bad for Jordan Walker.
I don't really feel bad for Goldschmidt or Arenado. They've gotten enough accolades, and they have enough money. Listen, Arenado opted out, and then opted back in. He signed back in with the Cardinals, so he could have gone anywhere that he wanted to.
Yep.
He had the opportunity to get paid by anyone he wanted to. He could have been a New York Met.
Would have been perfect third baseman, I thought.
No, but he chose to stay in the middle of nowhere because those fans love him. Those fans will march to the Capitol for Nolan Arenado. They love him that much.
Can we confirm that Nolan Arenado was not marching at the Capitol?
I don't know, man. You tell me. I feel like I might have seen a 29 jersey in red. You know.
I mean, hey. And Paul Goldschmidt, MVP, whatever, I guess.
Good for Paul Goldschmidt. You know, like,
Good for you, bro.
Listen, besides the fact he plays for the St. Louis Cardinals, I ain't got no kind of hate for Paul Goldschmidt because he's been one of the more underrated first basemen. And I thought him winning MVP was his, like, validation on his career.
Right. You know? And I do have a little vitriol to him because I don't think Pete Alonso is a Gold Glover. I think Pete Alonso can be a Gold Glover. That motherfucker just needs to go somewhere else. And I've always had a love for first baseman because of grand old Keith Hernandez. And people have talked about, oh, Goldschmidt is just as good as Keith. Well, no, he's not. Sorry to inform. It's just not the deal. But it is what it is. So, like you said, best fans in baseball, rest in piss. Because I hate the Cardinals, too. Everyone hates the Cardinals. We should all hate the Cardinals together.
I don't understand why anyone would like the Cardinals or tolerate the Cardinals. What kind of redeeming qualities are there about the St. Louis Cardinals?
I couldn't tell you.
Like, I got to go back to the 60s. Because Bob Gibson was there and he had to lower the mound because Bob Gibson was so good. You know, I got to go back to Lou Brock and Ozzie Smith to be like, yeah, no, those are respectable human beings in that uniform. It's been a while. It's been a real long time. Other teams disappoint me. I mean, like, you know, I wouldn't put the White Sox in that category because they're playing exactly how I thought they would.
I have one.
All right.
We're just saying the NL. San Diego Padres.
Yes and no.
That's fair.
That's fair. I think with the Padres, they haven't been whole. So I'll give the Padres time as well to get whole. Like most of the teams that are like hovering around 500, I don't want to give that kind of. Because if you want to say the Yankees are disappointing, then like I'm not going to hold you. Like, yeah, they've been disappointing. They're 9 games out of first place.
Yeah.
And for the expectations, you know, that's exactly where they should be. Cleveland, I think there's a little bit of disappointment there because,
agreed,
you know, they're better than what their record says. Granted,
17-20.
Granted, they haven't had Tristan McKenzie, offseason surgery. He hasn't been able to come back yet. The team that I think would scream disappointment right now, but one that can very easily turn it around and be in first place next week is Houston. Houston being 19-18, another team that's been missing guys. Jose Altuve, they missed terribly. It seems like Jose Abreu to be fits like a snug glove in a rug on the Houston Astros. It's taking him a little bit of time to get together and get going.
But, I mean, he's a slow starter too, but before it's because, you know, it's cold in Chicago up until like next week.
Right. You know, he still doesn't have a home run in Houston. His OPS is 526. Ah. So like, yeah, he's been awful. So it's like,
and they give up Yuli to sign.
I would have given up Yuli to sign Jose Abreu. Fuck yes.
I would have too.
Man's a couple years removed from MVP.
Yeah, no, I would too, but hindsight is 2020.
Also, he's like 2 years younger, and I think that matters a little bit, you know?
Yuli's old. But the thing is, yeah, Yuli's like, what, 36, 37?
Yuli's the PJ Tucker of baseball.
Oh, don't do him like that.
He just can't.
He's actually good.
Oh, yes. Whoa. PJ plays good defense, man. Don't do PJ like that.
I forgot you're in Philly. Never mind.
I don't want PJ on the floor sometimes, but like PJ is the reason that this is even 3-3.
Yeah.
We can talk about basketball in another podcast. About the 76ers. I don't think they have the metal, you know, to be here right now.
They don't.
But PJ is a champion. PJ's trying to instill that in them. So, like, he serves a purpose.
I agree.
If they win, if they win on Sunday, it's probably because PJ's there. Because they fucking folded. But either way, Astros have been disappointing. They're definitely a team that can turn it around. But you look at the other teams in that division. The Rangers have got off to a good start with all the moves that they made. The Angels are hanging around there with Tungsten Armel Doyle and Mike Trout. It's only a matter
of time. Are you talking about Shohei?
It's only a matter of time until, you know, the Angel, and we're sitting at the trade deadline. Like, what do the Angels do with Shohei Ohtani?
He's not going back.
No, he's not going back. Not in hell. And the Angels would be stupid to even keep him at the deadline, I think.
Honestly,
the problem with the problem with the Angels is they need to tear it down and rebuild, but they have the two best players in baseball, and it's hard to rebuild when you have the two best players in baseball.
Honestly, I will personally drive whatever prospects have not played in the major leagues for the Mets this season, and I'll drive Shohei back to Queens if need be, because I don't think that's the best trade deadline deal, because like you said, the Mets are in a limbo space to where we don't really know what the long-term goal is, but it's Shohei Ohtani, and that supersedes logic for sure.
Here's what I would like to know. I would like to know if it's possible to have three players on your team that earn more than $300 million.
Don't the Padres do that right now?
Tatis, yeah, they do. They do. They do. They do. I'm just saying, Mike Trout from South Jersey, he loved the fucking Eagles. He got a no-trade clause. I think it's very few places that he would turn down going to if you were like, hey, we got a trade offer. The Phillies want a high bet. I'm tired of Anaheim.
I would be disgusted if the Angels did that, unless we got Shohei.
To me, it's like, if you're Mike Trout, it's not like you're trying to go to New York and be the biggest star in New York City.
You're trying to be the fourth most known person in, like, not even
fourth
most.
Mike Trout.
Right.
You're already in the Los Angeles area, and you're probably the 34th most famous athlete in your market. So you just want to go to a team that wants to win or is fun and brings a comfort for you. So, like,
and you know who was also like that? Mookie Betts was like that. Mm-hmm. They said a lot of his discomfort on the White Sox or on the Red Sox was that he doesn't like the fame. He kind of just wants to be there and play baseball. And now being in LA, Mookie Betts, I think, like he said, he hung out with like Jamie Foxx and Nelly. and then from there, like, he was like, yeah, I'm kind of just chilling. Like, I can go bowling.
Not necessarily the fame. I won't say this. It doesn't sound like the fame was the issue, because, like, you're in Los Angeles. Like, you are famous. The difference between Los Angeles and Boston is that
notoriety.
Like, you're one famous person in a sea of millions of famous people. Whereas in Boston, you know,
you're the only black guy who's not David Ortiz.
Right. Which, you know, we're going to talk about Boston another time. It seems so surprising to you. I know we mentioned a couple of teams so far, but what other teams?
The Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks have surprised me. Yeah. I like the Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks I had pegged before the season is like, I could definitely see them having like a sneak. Because the Diamondbacks would do this shit where they have a sneaky good year. Where they're competitive and they might make a playoffs, and like everyone's thinking, oh yeah, the Diamondbacks are turning around, and the next year, no.
Yeah. The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yep. That's definitely a team. See them atop the Central right now is astounding.
Yeah. Yep. And then Kutch being able to go back and kind of just do his thing there. Like that's really cool.
Probably should have never left, but like, maybe it was good for Kutch to not be there while the team was stinking, and then to come back right when the team was ready to compete again.
Right,
and he can just be the elder statesman.
They don't have O'Neill Cruz right now.
Yeah, that's the shitty part. Is O'Neill Cruz is
but he'll be back relatively soon. I think.
I hope so.
They said it was a fibula fracture. Yeah, he's a monster though.
Yeah, he's a unit, fucking 6'7".
Yes, a fucking 6'7" shortstop.
Like, who, unicorn.
Yeah.
The Pirates are off to a hot start. I think the Cubs, not necessarily surprising. I think certain people had underestimated what the Cubs were able to do this season. But, like, for me, it was always – at least once the roster got constructed, it was always they're putting an emphasis on pitching and defense. they're going to, you know, pitch the lights out. They've gotten really good starting pitching, especially from Justin Steele and Marcus Stroman. And then having the defenders that they have, the Gold Glovers in Horner and Swanson up the middle, but then also Cody Bellinger in center. They can start to move some kids in. Matt Mervis got called up last week. Morrell came back up. We should see some other kids come back up. So I won't say they're surprising. Definitely not surprising. They're right where they should be.
At
18 and 19. Like, climbing. Not even welcome surprise, because I don't think they're welcome right now. I think they're kind of annoying the shit out of me. But, like, they're climbing. Miami, I would say, is a little bit surprising. I think certain factors are there. Luis Arraez just being a great hitter.
He just hits. Like, I think there was one point where he was hitting 435 this season. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he's just been just a wonderful hitter. Sandy Alcantara is an ace, and they should never trade him.
They shouldn't.
Like, this is the thing with the Marlins. This is their best pitcher since Jose Fernandez. And if Jose had not had his accident, 2017 would have been a very interesting year for the Marlins. And I think the Marlins may have been knocking on a door to possible competition and maybe not breaking it down. Like, Jose's death, I think, you know, made it very easy for the Marlins to punt coming into 2018 when they traded all those guys. So, like, they might have an opportunity here. This is new ownership. Don't do the same old Marlins shit. You know, I think you got good pitching. You have fun players. You know,
Jazz. I love Jazz. I love Jazz.
Build with this.
Yeah, Jazz. And Jazz getting the MLB 23 cover, I thought that was great. Like,
Of the game, it made sense.
Right. I forgot who I thought was going to be on the cover.
I honestly didn't have a thought. I was just like,
Julio Rodriguez is who I thought would be on the
Julio
cover.
Yeah, Julio was my thought, because it was like, yeah, it's got to be someone young and fun. But, you know, for the content of the game, Jazz was the one that made sense. So I love that Jazz. Julio will have plenty of fucking opportunities.
He'll probably be on the MLB 24 cover. The All-Star game is in Seattle. He's not the home run king right now, but he said he would compete again in the home run derby. So
the derby last year?
No, Juan Soto did.
Oh, that's right.
Soto beat Julio Rodriguez.
That's right, beat him in the final.
Yep. So it's one of those things where he'll be fine. Like, nobody's worried about Jose, Fernandez on the brain. Julio Rodriguez. No, nobody's worried about him.
Last team I'll bring up, like, not, I don't know if you wouldn't call it surprising. I'm surprised that they're not more trash, because they've been playing really good baseball lately, and that's the Detroit Tigers. They're 17 and 19. I mean, they're not good by any stretch of the imagination. Like, they're. I think at the end of the day, it's a two-team race with Minnesota, who's in first right now, and then Cleveland will wise up. But Detroit's got every incentive. With Eduardo Rodriguez pitching good, he's absolutely going to opt out at the end of the season. I want to see some more out of the younger kids, especially Torkelson. Right now leading the team in RBIs with 17. I'm hoping Javi Baez can start to hit with a more consistent rate. I don't know, saw him get a home run some time ago. I'm not exactly sure.
I saw Javi hit a homer against us, and he had a great at-bat, and I was just like, wow, this sucks.
For Detroit against? Well, of course it would be for Detroit against the Mets. You're not talking about the Cubs against the Mets. His last 15, he's hitting 321, 376. Sorry, 321, 397, 3. This is so fucking weird. 321, 397, 536. There we go. Very lots of fucking numbers. Either way, you know that's good.
Yeah. So
starting to find himself with bat a little bit. Still got a little bit of ways to go, but hopefully he could start to live up to that contract because he's not going to opt out and miss out on that money. So,
and if he does, it'll be for greener pastures.
He's not opting out. He's smarter than that. He fooled the Detroit Tigers out of a bag. And let's just say the Detroit Tigers are foolish for not employing some opt outs there.
I thought the deal he was going to get with the Mets, I think it was on the table. They wanted to give him 6-140.
6-140. And I think he ended up getting, what, 6-120? Or 6-160?
I think it's – I thought it was 6-170.
So it turned out 6-140. No, he did get 6-140.
Mm. So then we might have been lower. We might have been 6-120 then.
Okay, I thought it was an even number, and it wasn't even.
Right.
So yeah, 6-140 from the Dodgers.
Right.
Finally, before we get out of here, I have been thoroughly enjoying new pace of play in Major League Baseball.
Oh, it's great! It's great.
Last Sunday was my first game of the season, and start time officially was what 1:39. An hour later, we were in the top of the fifth. I loved it. I love it. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's going to keep folks entertained and make the game more interesting. I'm not going to be sitting on my fucking phone bored. You know, the only drawback is once I actually have an opportunity to like be in the stands and be in the seats, I won't be able to.
It goes by so fast.
It goes by so fast. Yeah. I won't be able to like roam the concourses the way that I used to. But like, right. if that's the one bad thing, then oh well.
I'm watching more baseball, you know.
Right. I'm enjoying the game.
Right. So on the pitch clock, I had a small Twitter controversy. It wasn't really a controversy. It was more everyone calling me nasty because we talked about this a little earlier. I went to see the Cincinnati Reds play the New York Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And Tuesdays are a special day at Great American Ballpark. They do $1 ice cream, $2 hot dogs, $3 beers. And so I think I saw it on TikTok. It was like, hey, 9 beers, 9 hot dogs, 9 innings. Mm. And I did it. I did it. I didn't feel great
nine
after.
9 beers, like, 9 hot dogs, 9 innings.
Yep.
So, well, first off, what did it turn out to, the cost?
We didn't there wasn't more than like $50 spent.
Okay. I mean, it's
because
like that's about what you usually spend on concessions at a baseball game.
Yeah, it was like 27 and then 27 and 18.
What?
So
what
40
compelled you to be like, you know what? I'm gonna be so much of a glutton that did you know that you would feel bad afterwards? Cause I feel like that had to have been like knowledge going in.
Honestly, I was kind of just like, you know what? Let's have fun today. Like, you know, social media inspires a lot of people to do a lot of dumb shit. And I was just like, I saw someone else do it. And I was just like, this seems pretty attainable.
So you were like, I'm going to harm my stomach for the content.
Yeah.
Because my stomach can be replaced, but this content is forever.
I mean, it's for the brand, bro. Like, so like now, like, they're like, oh, that dumb motherfucker over at Barbershare Network. Like, yeah, that's me. What's up? Like, Did
anybody capture snapshots of the glizzy going through the gullet?
No. There were pictures of said glizzies, but no, there was no...
So how do we know that you actually ate these glizzies if no one was able to document it? You
can I could be, but it'd be a nasty lie to say, you know? Like, that's kind of crazy.
Hawk down 9 hot dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Were there condiments on these hot dogs?
There were not. I'm not a condiments person.
You're not a condiment person.
I'm not.
That you're just swallowing dry dogs.
Why'd you phrase it like that, bro? Because
that's what it is. It's dry and juicy. You don't put no... I mean, that's kind of counterintuitive, ain't it? Like... No relish, no onion.
No.
I respect you for not being a ketchup guy because ketchup overpowers the taste of the dog.
I don't like ketchup at all. Like, I don't like ketchup or mustard at all.
I love mustard, but like ketchup can be overpowering sometimes. I can only do ketchup with things that like don't have much taste, like fries. But like,
right.
People that just drown hot dogs in ketchup are just like, you love murder, don't you?
Yeah. And so, So I'm looking at the thread, and we can link the thread like somewhere in the description or something like that. 17 retweets, 65 quotes, 89 likes, and 59.1k views.
All because you were a glutton for glizzies and guzzling beer. Was it good beer at least?
It was Bud Light. Like,
okay.
I mean,
right.
If I have to drink beer profusely and I'm trying to drink a lot of it in a short amount of time, I guess Bud Light is the way I'm going to go. Because, like, you know. But is that a Michelob?
It is. I started drinking light beer because, like, I want to feel better when I drink.
Okay.
I stopped drinking IPAs because IPAs are just...
They're just so heavy.
My head hurt. And
they're so heavy. Down. Yeah. Yeah.
So I started drinking light beer. Mickey Ultras, I like. I really like... I don't know if you guys have Yuengling up there.
Yeah, we have Yuengling. Yeah, I love Yuengling.
Yuengling Flights. I really like Yuengling Flights. So that'll be my go-to. Corona Light to be my go-to. I'll try to say to a light beer because
I
can't do the stuff I used to do.
Yeah, I try to stick with light beers and seltzers nowadays. Just like I said, I'm 29. Things are your body changes as you get older.
Nah, bro, you're a bitch. You don't pound hams. No, I don't pound hams. Hams is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I'll do and so, like, style, but, you know.
Right, but yeah, it was an interesting challenge with the pace of play because the game was under 3 hours. It was a quick one. But yeah, I think with aside from the glutton content, it's good for the game. It's good for the game. It's good for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I see so many more kids in stadiums now. And then I even went to a Louisville Bats game a couple weeks ago to see they actually played against the White Sox affiliate.
Charlotte.
Yep. And I saw Billy Hamilton.
Nice.
Yeah. Big Billy Hamilton guy. And so I was just like, you know, this is nice because when we got out of the game, the sun was like in the process of setting. And we got in at like 6:50 something. So, you know.
That's nice, man. That's fucking
nice. It's real nice.
It's, you know, for me, the issue with baseball is it hasn't been engaging. And
right.
You have to find ways in order to keep people interested. Like, working in television, as long as I have, you know, you get into this mentality of how you have to be able to keep people interested. You have to be able to find the hook to keep people around, or else once that remote goes click, they're not coming back.
Right.
But you will stumble upon something that will suck up your time and draw away from the content we're pushing out here. So for baseball, it's already as long as boring as it possibly can be. The answer is not to figure out a way to keep it that way or make it more boring. It's to make it, you know, more interesting. And speeding up the pace of play is definitely one thing. You know, comparative to basketball, that can be over in 2:30. You know, folks don't want to be spending 3-4 hours in the stadium. It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
That you could be doing so much other stuff with that time. And then
especially in the summer, it's hot, it's muggy, it's nasty. Muggy.
We want to kick it outside, not be in a fucking stadium, especially right, like, when it's extra innings that pushes back the time, and then you don't have the ghost runner. So now it's just an endless cycle of poor baseball that no one wants to watch, neither us or the players or the managers or the umpires. What we got right now, I don't like giving... I don't like giving Mr. Burns his credit. Let's just call him Mr. Burns. I don't like giving Mr. Burns his credit, but you know what?
He did something good.
The worst person you know did something tremendously good. And did it for the sanctity and the betterment of the game. I appreciate it.
I think I have like one more ridiculous addition to baseball. Like, I think you should be able to choose just like one player who can casually be on roids, but like you can't disclose which player it is. And you just can't disclose which player it is. So like it could be your best hitter, but it could be your worst one. And that is for people to find out.
My man wants to lower the sizes of so many men because of jokes. Sid, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Sid Slide Park, SYDLIDEPARK, like the Mac Miller mixtape, Blue Slide Park, except it's Sid. I'm here and there. I do some work for Knickish. I'm on there every week talking about the Knicks. I do social media management for the Black Variant, RNC, for X and Van, who are fantastic at comic book and social media and just pop culture. All that's in my bio. And if you see me on the timeline, chop it up. I'm wearing my nice little free game program t-shirt for my good friend Miss Bree Singleton. That's a nonprofit that we work, or she owns, that I do some work for here and there. Just making sure that the kids can play the games that they love to play. So, thank you for having me.
Of course, man. You're gonna be seeing a lot and hearing a lot more from Sid on the Barber Shit throughout the next coming months. We'll talk about baseball another time. You can follow me, Pierce, at Cameron Santo on Twitter. At Barber Shit Net on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/BarberShitDigital. I've been asking, but I assume the boys will be doing a scheduled release pod. So be on the lookout for that for 7th and Hollis. I also would assume there'll be a King's Landing for the Atlanta folk if you give a fuck about the Falcons. I do not, but please still listen. Man, follow me because we doing big shit over at MLBBro.com, man. And
I love you guys, MLBBro.com. Oh my god, Josiah Gray, one of my closest friends from high school. I was his mentor for for like our in school program. That's good season this year. Good season this year. I'm glad we're finally starting to see more black. Or just black baseball players, like black American baseball players, because the game needs that, and we need more kids in the game. Yeah, for sure.
Most definitely. Josiah's one of the young up and coming kids, and we got a lot of good kids up and coming, man. Check out what we're doing, man. MLBBro.com, Twitter and Instagram is where you can find us. My stuff is regularly featured. You'll see me on Saturdays, which will be about time this podcast drops. So let's go see what I'm working on. What else the fuck do I gotta do? I think we've done anything. I think we've done everything. I think we can get up out of here. Cool. Thank you, Sid. I appreciate you for coming on the show today. This has been the 4040 Club on the Barbershare Network for Sid. I am here signing off. Enjoy the baseball.